say we go dancing.
I'm in.
Let's go dancing.
Okay, but not somewhere I'm gonna feel worse about myself when no one's interested because I'm fat.
Maybe the universe is telling me that I should fuck that cute virgin and give him the great first time experience that I never had.
That's not karma, that's statutory rape.
You're such a Sex in the City
podcast.
I'm a lost cause. Go on without me. Save yourself.
Stop, you bitches! I called the cops!
Fuck my car!
Yeah, keep talking. I'll come down there and cut it off for you.
Gay boyfriends are the loophole of monogamy.
I'm a 34-year-old nerd.
Check 1, 2, 3.
We said do a quick rant.
Rant?
Oh, that's what we want to hear.
What's a rant?
You know, like talk about why you hate religion or something like that.
Not like what's something that upsets you in life.
Like religion.
Or elevators.
Or any other show besides Sex and the City.
Yeah, that's upsetting to all of us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, none of those things really upset me.
Oh. Well, obviously you haven't watched enough Sex and the City, because if you had, you would have realized that everything else is just not that good.
Yeah.
And would be upsetting.
But that's something that I feel like we're about to get to in just a minute here. Because Daryl,
mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, are we on air? I have something personal to tell you that...
You can say that, but yeah, we'll just step outside real quick.
Okay, yeah, no, I didn't want to say this in front of you and our listening audience, but like,
okay.
You're a real fucking Sex in the City podcast sometimes.
What? Man, I was thinking the same thing. Sometimes you're such a Sex in the City podcast.
Oh my God. You know what? No, let's bring our guest back in here.
Okay.
Because I've been meaning to have this moment with you, Forrest, because you're such a Sex in the City podcast. Forrest Kelly, our guest for this week.
Yeah, bro.
Yay. Do you have anything to say to that? Are you going to stand up for yourself?
You know what? I'm pretty fucking stoked to be on the Sex in the City podcast. First off, because I've never actually seen one episode of Sex in the City.
Oh, no.
This is going to be great.
I mean, yay!
No, this is what we thrive in.
But I did find out, that it is an HBO series.
It is.
Yep. Okay.
And I'm a very big fan of HBO series, like
right.
True Detective, and Game of Thrones.
Sopranos.
I couldn't get into Sopranos.
What?
You know, I tried watching it.
That's two strikes already. Three strikes, and I'm going to have to get another guest.
You're going to have to find another guest, dog. I'm going to strike out.
I've never seen Sopranos, so for me,
okay.
You have zero strikes. Because you know what? You having never seen an episode, you know what that says to me? Tabula rasa, the blank slate. You are just waiting to be educated on part of the cultural zeitgeist of the late 90s, early 2000s, and also 9/11.
I feel like it's just going to be a sexier version of Friends.
Yes!
Yeah, this is definitely, well, a little less men, too.
Much less men.
Is there a Joey?
There's not really a Joey.
There is a Skippy.
Yeah, there is a Skippy, and he is kind of the Joey, I guess, maybe.
Not at all.
I don't know.
But that's fine.
I would kind of say Stanford is more of the Joey.
Ah, that's because Stanford's the best.
I feel like if your name's Skippy, you can't be a Joey.
Well, his name is actually Skipper, but...
they call him Skippy.
Yeah, because that's even better.
That's peanut butter.
Yeah. Yeah.
So smooth.
You went to a gay friend to a peanut butter.
Yummy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad you feel that way. We're a very progressive podcast.
No.
Okay. Forrest.
Yes. Even though you haven't watched the episodes themselves, how familiar are you with the show?
I know it's about Sex in the City.
Right.
Elaborate.
I basically know that there's a bunch of chicks living in New York.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking a lot.
That's pretty much the show.
That's all accurate.
Yeah. That's how it was summed up to me. I think by you, April.
Yeah, that seems that I believe that.
I could see April saying that. I could see her saying it's four chicks that fuck a lot. Watch the show already.
Yeah, I think it was basically that.
Daryl, have you seen me pitch to potential guests before? Because that is like verbatim.
Yeah, it's a thing of gold, guys. If you want to actually, we're going to have a Patreon of her just propositioning potential guests, and we'll just turn that into a show because that's almost better than this show.
Yeah, I'm like, I just go up to random people on the street. I'm like, hey, do you like having your dick sucked?
Yeah.
They're like, what? And I'm like, because you could watch a chick do it to another dude on HBO in the late 90s, early 2000s, cultural zeitgeist piece, Sex in the City, and be on my podcast.
And then they're like, I guess, does it involve a hot meal or some sort of liquor?
Liquor, yes.
And then they're like, okay, obviously.
We have a lot of homeless guests.
Oh, homeless guests. Like just people off the street?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I would call them homeless. Some might call them comics.
It's hard to tell. It's hard to tell at times.
My girlfriend definitely calls them homeless. She's like, all your friends are homeless.
Oh, of course they are. Yeah. Most of them are, and I think that's also like part of the trade and part of the allure of being a comic, because now once you start doing comedy and you're homeless, you're like, well, at least I'm doing something. It's not like I'm just like panhandling, you know? Like,
that makes complete sense.
I'm an artist.
Comedy makes homelessness okay.
Yeah.
Because at least you're striving for something.
And it's part of your overall origin story. How many comics have you heard that say at some point, like, yeah, I used to, like, live in my car, or yeah, I used to couch surf or whatever. Like, that's part of the, like, origin story of most comics.
Yeah, but you know who you don't get to hear that from is the people, the thousands and thousands who don't make it, who also lived in their cars.
True.
And then just died of drug overdose or exposure or whatever.
But at least 90% of those guys are telling that story to their family.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, "Oh, you guys don't even get it. Back in the day, I was trying to make it as a comic, living in my car."
You think comics have families?
Well, what do you do when you quit comedy?
Well, I think it's also the American dream narrative where it was like, oh, I had all these struggles and strifes, and then I made it. You know, through all that hardship, all that shit, I came through on top. You know, nobody wants to hear like, I lived in my parents' back house for till I was 35, and, you know, the maid still only made dinner twice a week, but, like, you know, it was still cool. I was still struggling. I didn't really have to go to work or anything, and 5 years later, I got a TV show. Like, nobody wants to hear that shit.
Fuck no.
They want to hear the I was living in my car bullshit. I was doing a stupid Sex in the City podcast for 2 years and didn't make anything.
Okay, sorry, Daryl, real quick.
Yeah?
Do you think it's alienating at all? Like, I love what you're saying. Do you think it's alienating that we live in this mansion and that you're having this rant? Like,
it is.
White privilege.
I love it, but, like, we have several maids. We have a dog walker. You don't even have a dog. We just have the cat.
I will say,
she's just there in case.
Two doors.
It was a little infuriating that we had to make our own Cosmos. I mean, Lupe took the night off early, and I was originally going to say, like, you know what? I should probably have her stay an extra 2 hours so she could make these Cosmos for us.
But then she was like, no, mother's very, very sick. She's very sick. Mm-hmm. I need visit dying, how you say, cancer.
Right, and then I said, okay, well, show me the death certificate tomorrow. You could leave early as long as you bring that certificate tomorrow. And then she said,
gracias.
Exactly. So, in these times, I guess I'll make my own Cosmo.
I'm just saying we're reaching out to Middle America.
Right,
also,
we are.
We have a wonderful, wonderful maid despite her Latin heritage, is a native speaker of Chinese, which is why she has that accent.
Exactly. She's Spanish, but speaks Mandarin.
Yep, and broken English.
Exactly.
Your cleaning lady is Spanish, but speaks Mandarin.
Mm-hmm.
Well, because
we're woke.
She was raised in a Mandarin-speaking orphanage.
Yes. She was brought from Mexico to China, raised in China, and then turned into a maid, flew back to America, started doing our laundry and making Cosmos.
How exactly do you turn into a maid?
That was a career goal that she went in. She went through, you know,
actually, it's a lot of schooling, and then they begin to weave a cocoon around themselves, and then the change begins during the spring months, and they evolve into a beautiful, wonderful, glorious housekeeper at the end of it.
That can make all of your food and make Cosmos, and also turn the TV on and change it to your favorite Sex and the City episode.
All without a visa.
Mm-hmm.
White privilege, guys.
Yeah.
Like I said.
Anyhow, I think we've talked too much about our maids.
We have.
And our lavish lifestyle.
Forrest, what do you think the ladies are going to get into this episode?
Well, based on April's explanation of the show, a lot of fucking.
True.
Not wrong.
Well, what, this is season 4, you said? True. Episode 11?
We're about midway through the series itself.
Okay, so there's 20 episodes in this.
There's 94 episodes plus two movies as well as
two movies.
We're four.
Hell yeah, there
I
are.
I think we're four or less than four episodes away from 9/11.
Have you guys done an episode like for the movies?
No, we are going to.
We're
going to
do that at the end. Yeah, we are building up. It is in chronological order.
Okay. That's actually kind of cool. Like, so you had these series that probably built up a huge fan base.
Yes.
And then you like grand slam it with two fucking movies.
And the movies were pretty far away from the series ending. It ended in like 2003.
Some people would call the movies a cash grab.
True.
Totally.
And the ladies are much older, and it's kind of unnerving. But I would call the movies a gift from whoever your god might be,
right.
Whatever her
HBO.
Name is. Her
it's
name.
You're a diehard, though.
Yeah.
You're a diehard.
I mean,
you guys,
always.
Clearly, because you guys have a podcast about it.
Yeah, which we started because when we didn't know each other that well, we realized we both had a non-ironic love of Sex and the City,
mm-hmm.
and we'd do comedy, and we'd both just be like, I have nowhere to go, and I'm sad, and then we're like, Sex and the City, and we started just hanging out watching it. And then we're like, wouldn't it be funny if we started a podcast? And then one week, Daryl's like, I have the podcast equipment, and I'm like, that's great, sure, yeah, that's gonna happen. And then he's like, we're recording, and I'm like, yeah. Definitely. This will be a podcast. Sure. Whatever, Daryl. And then it was. And it's what, like 1 or 2 years later?
Almost 2 years.
Yeah.
It'll be 2 years in October.
We did
take a few months off for some personal bullshit. But we also,
you shouldn't talk about your family that way, Daryl. You shouldn't call them bullshit.
Well, when they actually, you know, put a bunch of bullshit on my property, I'm gonna call it out.
Yeah, that was pretty upsetting.
Yeah, it was. Anyway, let's not get into that. Let's get into just this episode. But before we get into the episode itself, we like to give our audience or our guest a little recap on the episode before to, you know, fill you in on, like, you know, the doings, what happened last time.
So, what's going to happen right now is you're going to listen to the previous episode's elevator talk, which is our previous guest, Robert Zoroff.
Robbie Z.
Robbie Zobert.
Yep.
Doing his rendition. He was in an elevator with some coworkers, and he was trying to describe to them in the span of, you know, a minute or so. Between floors, what happened on the episode. So this is your preparation for what you're about to see.
He actually did this in an elevator? Because, I mean, I know what an elevator pitch is.
Mm-hmm.
It's supposed to be like a 1 to 3 minute spiel that you can kind of like, you know.
Nah, he did this in an elevator.
This is not a lie at all.
Okay.
Nope. He went to an actual building that had multiple floors, and we took all this recording equipment with us. And he talked to people for hours on end, and we got the best one.
Until one of them was like, do you remember that one episode of Sex and the City?
Mm-hmm. And then they were like, oh, yeah, I do remember that.
Okay, all right, cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
Play it.
Here we go. Oh, Hey, Rob.
Hey, April. Good to see you. Just going to work, I get.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you see Sex in the City last night? I totally missed it.
I did. Okay.
What happened?
Okay, so first of all, Carrie went with her boyfriend, who he follows the Dave Matthews Band. You can tell.
Aiden.
Yeah, that guy, and he's got a dog and like a truck. And they went out to the country and to the cabin where Evil Dead was filmed. And she's not having it, and she saw a squirrel, and she freaked the shit out.
That's so scary.
Yeah, I mean, she sees rats on the regular, but of course a squirrel freaks her out because she's, you know, inconsistent. And then the whore, guys keep asking her what she's doing on the weekend.
My floor's coming up, man. I got like 15 seconds.
The whore fucks a guy in overalls, and then the other one who's hot sees her mom-in-law staring at her husband's ball bag in the bath. And then, gives a guy cancer.
I gotta get off at this floor. Oh,
hey,
man, that's crazy.
What?
I gotta watch that.
Hey, we should go for a drink sometime, April.
The doors are closing.
Oh, hey, Daryl, what's going on, dude?
Hey, what's going on, man? Oh, you check out that Sex in the City, right?
Yeah, you saw it, right?
Of course I did, with the mom and being weird as fuck.
Yeah, watching. I was just trying to explain it to April, but, like, you know, she's been ducking me for a while now.
Yeah,
I've been trying
to
get her to come to a TGI Fridays with me, but...
I'm not gonna lie, like, women do not like this show as much as us guys do.
Nah, not at all. It's a great
show.
So,
what do you think is gonna happen next episode?
I think underneath the cabin, they're gonna find a treasure chest, but in it... there's going to be some kind of magic lamp that they rub, but what comes out of it, what you think should be a genie, is actually some form of lesser demon that promises to make all their dreams come true, but in like a weird monkey paw way, they have their dreams come true, but they're like bad, like Carrie wants to be not ugly, but just makes everyone else in the world even uglier than her.
Oh, wow. That's cool, man. I'm getting off right now.
Do you want to come play Settlers of Catan some weekend?
Nah. You know, let me hit up April and see if she wants...
You guys should totally come play Settlers.
Wasn't that a great episode? Oh my gosh. Let's just say it was amazing and then just call it an episode, right? We don't have to record anymore.
Totally amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have a new convert. That's it. The entire goal is to make you watch the rest of it, and I feel like you've already said yes, Forrest.
Yeah, totally. I'm going to go home and I'm going to start watching Sex in the City.
You're hooked.
Fuck yeah. So what,
like crack cocaine.
What of the four characters did you most relate to or just want to be?
I like the main character's boyfriend.
Aiden.
Yeah, of course. Everybody loves John Corbett / Aiden.
Yeah.
Who wouldn't love Aiden? He's amazing.
No, he's incredible. He is a craftsman.
Yeah.
He's a woodworker.
He owns his own furniture store, and he also makes the furniture.
And the furniture, he sells a table for like $5,000.
Yeah, but it's made of like a fucking old oak tree that was owned by like Lincoln or something.
A fucking old oak tree.
An oak tree that was just fucked and jizzed on by Ben Franklin. And then he like turned that into a like an armoire or a nice like ottoman.
So he's a bullshitter.
Yeah.
I like
he's a craftsman. I will not have blue collar Americans shit on our podcast when I am running for presidential candidate in 2020.
These guys are the backbone of American ingenuity and made in America. Like, we're all for that, right?
We are. Can we all agree on one thing, though?
Yes.
Yeah?
He fights like a bitch.
He does. Nobody threw a punch. Nobody had a lick of like MMA experience. We were seeing guys that fought like pussies. Was that correct?
Exactly. And you know what? It makes sense. This is like a late 90s show, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that shit wasn't that big back then. But yeah, it was terrible.
Right. They couldn't have gotten the choreographers to John Wick by this time. Like, John Wick wasn't around then.
Yeah, I'll give him some slack. I'll give him some slack.
I see what we're getting at, and I love it, but I think that we're maybe putting the cart before the Carrie Bradshaw. And so let's just go back a couple steps, because following Carrie's storyline for this episode, she is with Aiden, you know, she's experiencing the other girl's troubles, but she decides to spend a quote-unquote long weekend from Thursday onwards in Aiden's cabin in the woods that she before seemed like she was going to kill herself to try and escape from.
Yeah.
But now she's just like, oh, okay.
The next day, while Aiden was tearing down the old shed, I was tearing through the new InStyle with Big's big movie star on the cover. Hello?
Hey, it's me.
What's the matter? You sound terrible.
I hope you don't mind my calling. I got the number off your machine. Where's area code 845?
Upstate. We're in the country.
On a Thursday?
We're taking a long weekend. What's wrong?
She broke it off. She said she never wants to see me again.
Oh. I'm so sorry.
I don't even know what I did. Or she won't return my calls. See. She can reach me, but I can't get her.
You mentioned that. Well, she's crazy. I'm telling you, she has the eyes of a crazy person.
Man, I was such a chump. I really put myself out there, and she drop-kicked me right in the fucking heart. When are you coming back to the city?
Monday.
Not till Monday? Fuck.
Well, I'd invite you out here, but it's just so far away.
How far?
It's 40 minutes. You know, if there's no traffic, but with the weekenders and everything, I don't know, an hour, maybe even two.
It's Thursday afternoon.
Yeah, don't you have to work?
I have to see you. I'll get my Jag out of the garage. Well, maybe the drive will do me good.
Uh-huh.
I'll come up for an hour. We'll talk. And then I'll head home.
Uh-huh.
How do I get there? Let me get a pen.
Well, as long as she has her magazines, then she's fine.
No, you know. She does have magazines, so that it does kind of explain it. But anyhow, and she gets a call from Big, Mr. Big, that
he lurks and like finds her number. Like, this would take effort. Back in the day, you know, you don't have everybody's cell phone number. It's not like you, like, nope. You had to, like, search for this.
That's exactly it. He said he got it from her machine, I think, like her answering machine. And anyhow, he's just like, I need to talk to you about my current woman who I'm upset about. And she's like, And he was like, can I see you? And she's like,
Yeah, because he broke up with her, his movie star girlfriend.
She broke up with him.
Yeah.
Yeah, Willow Summers, I think was her name.
What a fucking superstar, like, non-real life movie star name.
I know, right? A little bit, yeah. But anyhow, and then what do we think between the three of us... of Carrie's decision to essentially invite him over, the man who she had an affair with, and she's back together with Aiden after the affair, but Aiden's like, I don't want this man here in my home that I own. And she's like, well, I already invited him. Thoughts?
Yeah. Well, first off, I didn't even know that there was an affair in that whole storyline.
Oh, yeah. That's the backstory that we might have not caught in the elevator pitch, but the long, short end of it is Carrie was dating Big, broke up with Big, then started dating Aiden, then cheated on Aiden with Big, then didn't have any of them, and then slowly got back with Aiden.
Yeah, so I didn't even know that. And so without knowing that, I still thought the guy had some balls.
He
on
did.
Him for even driving out there.
Right?
Know,
even if they didn't have any sexual past, if this was just another like, quote-unquote friend, maybe. Maybe. But even then, it would still be like, dude, you don't want to...
No, they fucked.
Are you sure you want to be a third wheel?
Well, that's like, kind of a...
That's the thing, though, is that they, even if it was just a romantic past...
Even if it was
which
just
was
an ex.
Not to do with an affair, then... Is like, I'm inviting him over because he's in crisis and I want to comfort him, not with my naked body, I promise. Then it's like, ooh, that's, I don't want that where I live.
She's still comforting another man.
Yeah, that has been with her.
In
your
the dude's home.
Yeah, fuck that.
Yeah.
And Aiden should have been, like, he's a great guy. That's the thing.
He is.
It just shows
that's
you
his
how
fault.
Much of a great guy he is because he... doesn't he lets it happen, but he's also like still like, hey, I'm gonna like have boundaries, I'm gonna be like pissed off and show you that I'm upset about this, but I'm not gonna be like just get out or drive drunk or whatever.
Yeah,
you know,
here's
it's
a
like,
fucking pillow and a blanket, you fucking asshole.
Yeah,
and I'm gonna wake you up in the morning.
Yeah,
you know, they should have fought. I even almost thought they would have fought in the very moment.
Yeah,
but, you know,
right.
It makes sense they fought at the end.
Only fault that I can see in this episode with Aiden is his clearly not understanding how to play basketball.
Oh, yeah.
Where he thinks it's just throwing a ball at a wall over and over
again.
You're
not getting in the hoop at
all,
bro.
I was like, that's... And he gives it to Big, and he's pissy about it. But Big makes some hoops, at least.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he
and I'm like,
sinks the first shot.
Maybe
that's the thing, like,
that is part of what you're upset about, is you feel threatened that he understands the rules of a sport that you try to understand, but
well,
clearly
also,
don't.
You're going to put a basketball hoop on that side of the wall or with that type of incline?
Slant, yeah, that's
like,
a fucked hoop.
That is a fucking weird basketball court, bro.
But also, I will say... Aiden, as we know, is a handyman, and that's a man who works, you know, with physical things. So I like to think that that wasn't there before that morning, but that's how upset he was. He was like, I want it to be on this wall of the house so that both Carrie and Big can fucking hear while I'm angrily throwing a basketball at it.
And
he
like,
just put it up like that morning at like 6 a.m. and then started
and
throwing
like
the ball at the wall.
He also carved it out of like, you know, some big cedar oak.
I mean, clearly, it's Aiden. He's a dreamboat.
He like whittled a basketball.
A dreamboat.
He is. He's...
Yeah. And when we say dreamboat,
too good for her.
He's actually made a dreamboat out of mahogany.
Whittled the dream boat out of mahogany.
Exactly.
He's a dream boat that made a dream boat.
Yeah. I would call my dick a dream boat, but it's more of a dinghy.
A nightmare dinghy?
Yeah. Without sails. Speaking of that, and when I say sails, I mean balls. Let's get to Steve's one ball.
There are a million reasons to celebrate in New York City. Steve, no longer having testicular cancer, was just one of them.
I only have one ball left.
I don't care who wins. It's me and you after this, buddy.
Great!
It all comes down to just one little ball.
Who wants your beer?
Hey, oh, oh.
Samantha? One ball.
I'm sorry, I wasn't thinking. Was he upset?
Embarrassed, I think.
There's nothing to be embarrassed about. He's still got one.
Oh, Miranda, they come in a set, like earrings.
Oh, he's doing great. If it were me, I'd be sitting at home all depressed.
Explain that to me. Tell me why you'd be depressed if you were perfectly healthy but had to go through life without balls.
Well,
I was talking to Aiden.
Well, maybe it's bullshit, but... I might feel like less of a man or something.
A couple of hanging glands has nothing to do with making somebody a man.
She's right. I once went out with this guy, the biggest balls I've ever seen. Complete pussy.
How big?
Huge. I could barely fit one in my mouth.
Welcome to my world.
The irony is that I don't think women care that much about balls. I know I don't. Do you, Carrie?
Except for yours, darling, I'm very into yours.
I have never met a man who wasn't into his balls. Oh, yeah, baby, that's it. Grab my big balls, lick them, pull them.
You pull the balls?
Mm-hmm. They like it.
Huh.
I went out with this guy.
I'm sure you did.
Wait, will you please let her finish?
She's done. Now, I'm thinking, balls are to men what purses are to women. It's just a little bag, but we'd feel naked in public without it.
Okay, there are so many different ball things in this episode.
Of course. A lot of ball talk in this episode.
Okay, Forrest, real quick, as our guest, how do you feel about your balls?
I feel like I like my balls.
If you had cancer and you had to lose a ball, would you feel demasculated for having only one ball, or would you feel less than a man?
I don't think so. I've kind of like wrote it off. Like, I'm probably gonna lose a ball at some point in my life.
Right.
What makes you think you're gonna lose a ball at some point?
Don't you know he's a rodeo enthusiast? He's gonna.
I don't know. I mean,
I'm not like I'm a proud woman and I love my sexuality, but I'm expecting to lose a tit to cancer.
Right.
That's fine. I've already accepted it. I'll be full on upset if that happens. But, like, what makes you be like, one ball? I expected it.
That, exactly. Like, cancer. I expect. What? I'm almost 30, but, you know, who knows? I might have ball cancer.
It does seem like, also, on the, like, range of cancers, pretty manageable cancer, like, where you just lop off the nut and suddenly you don't have cancer anymore.
Exactly.
Like,
it's not that big of a deal.
But that's the same with boob cancer.
Right.
You just lop it off and then you get some, like, real, wonderful friend of the community tattoo artist to tattoo a nipple on you.
Awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
Would you get a ball tattooed on your nutsack?
No. No.
Oh, okay.
No.
What if it was free and it was from a friend of the community?
Yeah, like
probably
he
not.
Shaped your rest of your scrotum so it looked like it had two balls with just some nice shading and some, like, after effects.
Like a really nice ball tattoo.
Like, you could see where the ingrown hairs were. That's how detailed it was.
Yeah.
Wow.
Would you do that?
It's a lot to take in. Probably... Definitely.
April, let's pose a question that the ladies got posed. You know, how much are women into the balls? Do you notice it that much? Or are you like kind of like, yeah, it's more about the dick?
Why would I ever notice that?
Would you notice a guy with one nut? Or would you not even care?
If I knew him for more than 24 hours, yes. But less than 24 hours, no. I don't care, but if I have to pay attention to it, I will notice. So, and at that point, that's you both understand who I am. I would just start making jokes. And then if it came out that he lost the
ball.
Other, yeah, if it came out that he lost the other nut to cancer, then probably he'd cry or just be upset or something, and I'd be like, ah, oh, I didn't know that. But in my heart, I did know. I just thought I was funny.
Yeah, or be
so
cool
I'd
with
do it,
it
anyways.
And you guys would live happily ever after.
You know what's weird is that, like, cancer...
Thank you for your faith, Forrest.
Like, cancer's pretty fucked up, but...
Is it?
Yeah, it is. There's a you know, more to know.
A what?
The more you know, like...
The more to know?
Yeah, the more to know.
Oh, guys, have you read The More to Know?
Mm-hmm.
It just came out on... Yep. It was an Amazon limited release.
It
I just read...
a lot of fun facts about all these things.
No, I know, right? Did you get to the, like, twist ending of the last chapter of The More to Know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? What'd you think of it?
It was surprising... And I don't feel like it's ever going to be the same after you read it for your
it
life
won't
or
be,
yourself.
No, because we're all going to prison because it's actually just a list of criminals.
No, but I don't even remember what we were talking about.
I remember.
Hmm.
It was The More to Know.
Got it. What was that before, though? What were we talking
about
right before that?
Uno balls.
Uno balls.
Yes,
oh, yes.
Yes,
oh,
yes.
Here we go. Cancer. Okay, it's so horrible that cancer exists. But that's the thing. When it comes to, like, cancer, it always hits the balls. It never hits the dick. You don't have dick cancer ever. You always have ball cancer.
Is there dick cancer?
Or tit cancer.
Tit cancer.
Come on.
But you don't, and you can have anus cancer.
Yeah, well...
But
what's the difference, my friend?
Well, there's a...
You know what I'm getting at. I say tit cancer, but that's colloquial. I mean boob cancer, but it's funnier to me and no one else.
And it does affect more women, even though should get it more. Yeah.
But some dudes who do have tits... Daryl, have you been checked out recently?
I have.
Yeah?
Did
they find any lumps?
My girlfriend used to always say she found lumps, but then I was
like... Was she a doctor?
No.
I still think you should see a doctor.
I totally thought I had breast cancer
when
I was in middle school.
What?
How was that?
What?
Oh, yeah. I'd lay awake at night.
And
was for sure that I had breast cancer. I had these lumps.
You're like, is that a lump?
In my nipple. No. Mm-hmm. I had these like big lumps in my nipple and... I found out it's like it's something common that young boys get,
like a Cheeto.
Yeah, it's like no, it's just like I just had these like lumps in,
or like razor scooters.
I don't know how to explain it other than they were lumps in my nipples.
Yeah, no, and, I had on that same thing,
and I was just convinced that I had breast cancer, and I didn't tell anyone because I was terrified.
But it's all around the nipple part.
Yeah.
Or that areola area.
Yeah. The areola.
But that I feel like is just common to the nipple, because I've heard on Loveline back in the day.
No. Not nipple lumps.
Mm-hmm. Wait. Okay. No. It's we're not.
These were under
explained.
It was under the skin.
Yeah.
Well.
Like it was. They're like calcium deposits.
Like a cyst or yeah. Like some sort of yeah. Mm-hmm.
Guys, do we want to know a fun fact about weird lumps in our bodies?
Yeah, is it about Sex and the City boobs?
Yeah, they got in a weird tangent.
And no, I'm just that. This is what this made me think of, because actually I was thinking about it earlier today because I'm sad and weird. But
what?
Point being,
that's not on you.
I get ovarian cysts. Like it, and it's just growths on your ovaries, which are like little, and they're like tumors, but like they're like just full of blood or whatever. They're fine.
Yeah, humble brag.
I know, right? But crazy thing that I didn't know for forever, but I found out is like if you get cysts and if you get, ladies get endometriosis sometimes where foreign cells grow in other parts of the body, and so sometimes you get these like lumps in your body, and they're not even just full of blood, they're full of like hair and teeth.
Whoa.
That are just growing, that like a doctor has to slice you open and take them out.
So you're growing teeth in your butt right now?
Not that I'm aware of, but probably yes.
Awesome.
I won't know until after the surgery.
Guys, write in and ask for those. Send us your emails and send us your addresses, and we will send whatever grows out of April's body to you.
My ovaries.
Yeah, we'll send the hairy ovaries or the teeth that are out of her legs.
I just thought that was crazy. I was like, you can't have teeth grow in your ovaries.
No.
And science was like, yes,
yeah,
you fucking
you
can.
Yes, you just can.
That's crazy.
And man, I was like, I hate
women
this.
Women can do anything, it turns out.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what
if
we
you
should
look
take
at
away
it,
from
yeah.
this.
If you look at it like
okay.
that. If you look at it like that.
Okay.
Anyhow, okay.
Speaking of the ladies.
They do make everything.
Yeah, they do. And speaking of which,
with their vaginas.
Charlotte can't make a baby for some reason, and she's really trying. And for some reason, her baby-making facility is not working, or it's trays.
She's
and,
a dud.
Yeah, it's either one of them, or both. Who knows? But we're figuring out if it's tray first, and he goes and gets his sperm counted or whatever.
Hi. Is everything okay? The nurse said you wanted to see me.
I'm afraid our old problem has reared its ugly head.
Can't seem to rise to the occasion.
Well, let's not assume it's the same problem. Here, I bought you this.
Jugs?
I know how much you like them.
You knew I'd have a problem.
No, no, I just came prepared. Look. She's got big boobs. Well, so does she. It's the big boob bonanza issue.
It's not that. It's...
What, honey?
I'm afraid to. I don't think I can handle another problem in that area.
Don't you worry, Trey McDougal. I'm sure that you have very strong Scottish sperm. And if you don't, we can just spin them and whip them up and do whatever it is you sexy doctor types do.
That's good.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I keep doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Do that thing I like.
Which thing?
You know, give a little tug.
Turned out, Trey's Scottish sperm was fine. No, better than fine. Fantastic.
Where's the cup?
Okay, so question, because in this episode,
yeah,
I think their main moments are Charlotte approaching Trey over dinner. They're eating takeout Chinese food, mm-hmm. and she just brings up, she's just like, it's easier to test the sperm, so we should test your sperm. And he reacts very strongly, like, because it feels like an attack to him, or it feels like there's something there that's being called out. Mm. That's, I think, their first big moment where he's just like, why are we testing my sperm? Why aren't we testing your egg? What the fuck? And the second big moment is Trey at the clinic because they agree to do it. And Charlotte comes in and he's like, oh, I'm having erectile dysfunction again. Crazy. And she's like, I brought porn for you. I will talk sexy to you about what a great doctor you are and how sexy doctors are and this and that. But, like, it's a whole progression. But what do we think of just that change between those two scenes, of the initial one of Charlotte bringing up in this very awkward moment testing his sperm and his reaction, and then also her very awkwardly but successfully trying to make him comfortable in the moment? Forrest?
I mean, she was successful. You know, we'll give her that. She
did get that sperm out of the dick for sure.
It's yeah. True.
Yeah. I think she did a good job bringing it up initially, though. She pretty much said, you know, the doctor suggested that we get your sperm checked. And, like, I guess that is the
yeah, it's always the first step to check out the dude. Because, yeah, it's less invasive and you just got to, you know, you're
jerking into a cup.
It's you troubleshooting. Know, it's you know, you're not like,
yeah,
you're just going down this list of like, well, let's try this. And if this doesn't work, we'll go down the next list.
But also, do either of you
have I jerked in a cup? Yes.
Question answered. Daryl is the most shameful one here. Good to know. Anyhow,
were you just practicing like for the one day?
Yeah, no, it was just into my own cup. It was a mason jar actually, and it wasn't really like looked at from a doctor's point of view or anything.
He was watching a webcam. It wasn't even for a webcam.
Mm-hmm. Just needed a place to go. Didn't have a sock.
Yeah,
it was a coffee cup.
I tested it myself. And
how'd it turn out? Positive or negative?
It was very positive. I came out thinking that I was very virile. And
virile.
I feel like I'm going to make
I think you're thinking of the word viral pronouncing it wrong.
It was viral, yes.
Venereal?
It was venereal too, yes. All three of those.
That's amazing. Okay, but real quick, to the room... Was there, did you at all relate with Trey's sense of defensiveness about being tested for a sperm or a sense of awkwardness when she first brought it up.
No. I kind of thought he was kind of being a bitch about it.
Well, obviously, like, when you're a man, you don't want to be demasculated, kind of in the sense of, like, oh, your sperm might not work. Nobody wants to hear that.
Well, but obviously not, but, like, just he leapt to one side, which is touchy, so I get it. But would that, do you relate with that?
I found it more offensive that the Chinese food that they got were actual, like, Chinese boxes. I never get that shit.
It looked really good.
It's always, like, styrofoam, stupid boxes. Is that, like, an East Coast themer or something?
Because I was at Leia's, and she, previous guest of the show, friend of the show, and she had Chinese food that was in those little boxes, and I noted it, and I took one of them because I'd spent the night there, and I still had to go to work in the morning, and I was like, I'm starving and hungover, so I'm gonna just grab one.
Right now. Perfect. And, yeah, that's perfect. Hungover food.
And I have a plastic fork in my car. It was great.
Ooh.
But I will say, I've done this way myself, where I, as previously mentioned, spermed into a cup, but it was for my own thoughts because there were plenty of times where, like, I, on in a stupid 20-something-year-old body, decided that it would be good idea to have unprotected sex with...
You were fucking a 25-year-old and decided to have unprotected sex?
Yep. As another 25-year-old, too. It wasn't like now.
That's even crazier.
I feel like that's pretty standard.
So
it is.
But that's the thing. Like, there were plenty of times where I should have gotten this girl pregnant, and I didn't. So then I thought to myself, like, I wonder if I can get girls pregnant, you know, just for my own peace of mind or whatever.
Were you just nutting inside?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
But I feel like copious amounts of weed have made me sterile. I really feel that way. Like, I really feel like I used to be really good at what?
You're like an anorexic ballerina student.
Yeah.
I don't have my period anymore. But, like, the weed version. I'm sorry. That I might be hateful, but, like, that's...
No, I've heard that's a thing where if you've smoked...
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, then I'm totally sterile.
But that's the thing.
And I'll just never have children, so we're all in the same boat.
But the results were, like, they said, like, oh, yeah, the count's cool, but they are slower. You know, and I was like, oh, it's because I smoke a shitload of weed.
It's because they're high.
It's because they're faded, yeah.
They're kind of chasing after their own tails.
A lot of them have two tails, and they're just going in circles. Just things like that, where it's like...
A lot of them are... not turning in their homework assignments, it's but like, they're studying the lyrics of Pink Floyd in like great depth.
It's like instead of I had to like, no, I like that. I like that analogy.
Well, thank you. That's what I want. I want people to say I like it instead of laughing. That's what I go for. But that's fine. Continue.
No, but I feel like it's one of those things where, you know, as a stoner, I think to myself, I can't get a girl pregnant by, like, nutting in her because it's, like, my sperm is too stonerish. It's too, like, I don't know, weed-induced.
Okay, see, I don't think...
Your sperm's too high.
I don't think you're wrong, but also I think that's how people get other people accidentally pregnant.
That's probably true.
For sure.
That's the same as a girl being like, I'm on the pill. But she's like, sometimes I forget. I don't know. But she doesn't tell you that part. It's the same.
Like, I feel like it'd be easier if I just got, like, a fetus and, like, literally, like, jammed it in her pussy. Like, that would make it... Like,
to get...
Illegal.
Pregnant?
Yeah. both.
I think I will agree with it, but...
Or you can adopt a kid.
I'll feel
No, you can't.
Concerned.
Not if you smoke weed.
Just lie about it like everyone else, Daryl. Jesus,
right. Come on.
It's not that hard.
That's true, I guess. Well, yeah, there are some hoops that you got to jump through. It's not as hard.
Well, man, you just got to want to have a kid bad enough.
I don't want to. Okay. No, that's not cool.
There
anyway,
we go.
It's like a
okay.
blessing in disguise. But
you
anyway.
Know what, though? I think this brings us to one of the other plot lines of the episode we have to go over, which is Kitty's there. She's fine. You don't have to look for her.
I was looking for my notes.
Oh, well, tough shit with those. But anyhow, what do we think of the plot line this episode for Samantha?
Well, I have to admit, you're the best person for the job. But I'm not going to hire you.
Give me one legitimate reason why not.
Do I have to say it?
Yes. I'd like to hear the words come out of your mouth.
Okay. You slept with my architect.
Turns out Samantha was wrong. Men do talk.
And I don't want to get into all that.
Into all what? It happened 100 years ago. I barely know the guy. And how does my personal life affect your business?
I think the more accurate question would be, how does your personal life affect your business? It's too bad. Other than that, you had the job.
You know what? If I was a guy, you would have shaken my hand, bought me a scotch, and given me a key to an office. It's amazing. A man with such innovative vision can be so short-sighted.
Miss Jones, wait.
But Samantha couldn't wait. She could feel the tears building up inside her.
Come on.
Wait, not so fast. Miss Jones.
The next day, Richard Wright hired Samantha. He told her he admired her balls.
Who is being the big, badass, boss, business lady? That she is, appreciate that alliteration, everyone. But point being, it comes up that her personal life is in the mix because the reason that she was able to make the connection was because she fucked a dude and he helped. Exactly. And he helped her get in and she fucking killed it. But she had that sense, which is... I think it's stronger towards women, but I think it applies to everyone of if you're quote-unquote emotional or seen as a liability because of your relationships, you won't get a job that you are the most qualified for. And she was in that situation, and she tried to play it. She played it the hardest she could, but... And she got the job at the end of the episode, but she had that solid moment of running to the elevator to leave because she didn't want to show that weakness and she didn't want to be judged in that way. Do we have any, like, what do you guys think of that?
I only feel like I wish I could cry at my job.
I feel like you wish you could cry ever, Daryl. I feel like you wish you could cry when you're choking the life out of a prostitute, but you can't anymore.
No, if anything, I'm like feeling relief. It's like, oh, this is such a nice, calming feeling.
Don't say anything they can use in court.
Right.
It's fine.
FBI, please don't incriminate me with this episode or any subsequent or future ones.
I also, though, love the idea of either you or me, like, getting into, like, real severe legal trouble. And they have to go listen to all of these episodes.
Oh, yeah. That's going
to
be amazing.
Evidence.
And they're going to have to watch all the episodes, too, to get all the subtext and the between-the-lines things.
And then they just become addicted to Sex and the City.
And we get one more convert from beyond the grave.
But anyhow, okay, what we... Forrest, did you have any thoughts about that situation?
Hats off to her. I think if she would have just turned around, you know, when he called her name,
mm-hmm.
she'd have got the job right then.
Even with the crying.
Even with the crying. Because I think she had won him over with what she had said.
Mm-hmm.
And then right before she left. And that's why he'd called her and chased after her.
Yeah.
But, you know, so I don't think she had to put herself through the crying in the elevator.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing. It's okay. So I agree with you, but I just want your opinion on this, which is that the way it was told, like when she was leaving the office, and I know this from my own emotional experience, like she literally, like when she got turned down, she was leaving the office. She was just waiting to cry.
The build from up. That she had the build up already.
Yeah. And so she, the elevator was a safe zone for her.
I get
and
that.
So
I get that.
The sanctuary.
Okay. Question. Do you think it would have made a difference if she stuck to her guns and she acknowledged him, but she maybe had some of that emotionality and a few tears and whatnot in the mix? Because that's what it's really about, is the idea of being written off as being too emotional.
I feel like sometimes it adds to it. It helps you, and sometimes it is a hindrance.
I think that was in her head. I think she thought it was more about that, whereas the guy thought about it as like she just fucked her way into this position, but mm-hmm. he ended up feeling bad for her. And I think if he would have saw her crying, he would have felt even more bad. And like I said, given her the job right there on the spot.
Yeah, but no one wants to get a job from someone feeling bad about it. That's Samantha's whole thing, is that she's a very...
She didn't show weakness.
He already said that she was the most qualified. Which, in that point right then, when I heard that, I was like, well, then obviously she's the person that you should hire. Like, if she's the most qualified, then you should hire her.
I feel like the more real scenario in most businesses is that the guy isn't that honest and goes, hey, you're cool, and I would have hired you, but you fucked my architect. I don't think they would have said that. I think he would have been like, we'll think about it, and then let her
They would have totally stroked her. Been like, yeah, we'll, you know, we're you thinking know, we, about you. We'll give you a call in 2 weeks.
And then just ghost her.
Ghosted her.
Yeah.
You know, not return her calls.
Right.
Yeah, the classic stroke.
Like, the fact that he said...
This was early 2000s. This was pre-9/11. We mm-hmm. can't judge it by the same standards.
Oh, yeah.
Totally.
They were just...
Way more sexist.
They were coming mm-hmm. right
way
up
more
on
sexist.
9/11.
I mean... So. I actually thought she was just going to fuck him on the desk right there.
Yeah. No, me too. Not
going to
lie.
When you think about it in that context, yeah, it's, I mean.
Or maybe they would have fucked in the elevator. Like, hey, Samantha, hold the door so I can bone you there.
They were fucking.
She'd mm-hmm. be down.
Yeah. Spoiler
and
alert.
Blow, and doing
they
blow.
They do fuck later.
Yeah.
Fucking
spoiler
knew
alert.
It.
Samantha fucks most people.
Yes. Oh. But this one is a guy that she's with kind of for a little bit.
That's true. He's one of the significant mm-hmm. ones. Okay.
But anyway, what else? Let's do fashion, right? Fashion.
Okay. We're going to do fashion. I want a real quick run over one final scene of a character, because we've talked about the one ball thing, but
I thought we talked about all four so far.
Daryl, are you questioning my knowledge of Sex in the City?
No.
Because that's what it sounds like.
I'm totally trying to set you up to an amazing revelation that you're going to just dump on us right now.
You better fucking be. Anyhow, I just want to get a final thought, because we've not addressed this scene, but it was a penultimate scene of one of our main girls, which is Miranda, because Miranda with Steve. Steve has all this stuff going around in his head about getting a fake ball and all that shit. He has his own insecurity because he's a bartender. End of the day, that's what he is.
Mm-hmm. And nobody's going to fuck a bartender with one ball.
Exactly. And Miranda is just like, the best thing I can do for you is to fuck you, because I still, like, we were together and we're not anymore. So it's kind of a pity fuck, but also a pity fuck that's mixed with a genuine fuck, where it's like, I'm still genuinely attracted to you despite this. And I feel like it was the two. Do you think that would work? Like, would that take your mind off it?
Yes.
Totally. Yeah, totally. I didn't know. I didn't know that they weren't together. I figured they were together.
Oh yeah, they were kind of, they've been on and off. This was kind of like a
This was a technical off period.
Okay. But she obviously, like, was concerned when he said he had cancer.
Okay.
So then she started to, like, kind of comfort him and, like, say, "Hey," because he was all like, "Well, maybe I'll just have, like, somebody cut it out when I'm at, like, a baseball game or something." Like,
and she's like, "Is that a doctor?" And he's like, "Oh, mm-hmm. he said he was one."
Yeah, he also makes hot dogs, but
and then
still.
She was like, "No, don't do that. I will get you a fucking doctor."
Yeah.
So she got him a doctor.
So she kind of, like, stepped in and was
made,
like,
it happen, yeah.
It paid was, for it?
No, he had insurance.
No, but he had insurance, but she helped him. And from the sound of it, from the previous episode, she kind of worked him into a better insurance so that he could see better cancer doctors.
Took care of him.
Yeah, because, so, like, cares, his first consultation was like,
she solved problems.
Yeah.
Like, the first doctor was like, "Did you get kicked by a mule recently?"
And the second doctor was like, "I got kicked by a mule recently. I'm sorry. I will still look at you, but I'm not going to pay much attention to it."
And then the third doctor is like, "No, it's cancer, actually."
And the fourth doctor was Jewish, and he was walking into a bar.
Yeah, and he was more like, "Why is your dick uncircumcised?"
That was the controversial episode.
Yeah. But then the fifth doctor was like, "Yeah, we need to actually get that removed. It's actually cancer." And
would
then,
would you? Okay, real quick though, Forrest, how did that strike you? Because clearly it could come off the entire scene of her fucking Steve. They were previous lovers, and clearly they're still very emotionally involved and very involved in each other's lives. She went with him to his doctor's appointment and all that crap. Clearly they're still very involved, but the whole, like, fucking each other thing after he has one ball, do you see that more as being maybe embarrassing for him and pity fucking, or do you see that as being you do see the good side of it, of, like, it is a connection thing and it is reassuring?
I see the latter. I mean, she's definitely, the way I look at it, she's being cool. She's a cool chick, you know. And at the end of the day, it doesn't matter if you have one or two balls. The guy's kind of being weird about it. In the term, like, she basically made the decision for him. I thought they were together the whole time when they were talking to the doctor. Like, she was kind of talking as if she made decisions in his life. You know, she's like,
definitely. With the whole pinto analogy and all that.
She's like, "Do you really want to have a pinto near your, you know, your dick?" And he's like, "No." And she like,
he's like, "I want a Mustang."
Yeah.
Or maybe whatever, a Maserati.
I want a Maserati near my cock.
Yeah.
She's like, "You can't afford one of those, but you still shouldn't have a pinto."
A nice Corolla. A Corolla, you know, very conservative car.
Mm-hmm.
What's the deal with pintos? Are pintos just, like, super dangerous?
Well, they had that huge recall where if they got rear-ended, they blew up.
I didn't know that. Did you hear about those electric cars?
That was a real thing.
I didn't know that. I'm sorry. It's not funny.
Did you hear about those Fiskers?
Yeah, where they
got
flooded.
I heard about the Fisters.
they had that huge flood or whatever, and like if they got submerged underwater, they would blow up.
Yep. Yeah, pretty much.
Those Fiskers were pretty sweet, though.
Yeah, the Fisks.
They were pretty sweet Fiskers.
They were a brand of car for a minute.
Anyhow, anyway, point being, though.
Yeah. But I want to say, they've always been kind of like, even when they weren't dating, they've always been kind of close still. They've always been that, like, you know, friends still.
Yeah.
Where, and then obviously, spoiler alert, they do later get together again, you know.
Yeah, it makes sense. That kind of goes along with the hokiness of the show. It's like you kind of expect that.
Yeah, the turmoil of will they, won't they, or whatever. You know,
yeah, that's like, the whole point. That's like that's the storyline of like them kind of like this is the on and off couple.
Yeah,
you know, that's,
and all four of them kind of have those types of storylines.
Yeah,
that's the thing, though. I think Samantha has that the least amount.
Yes.
Because she is just generally she's seen as this sexual butterfly, which really she is.
Yeah.
Her romantic relationships are the unusual part, where for the rest of them, it's kind of the opposite. You know, she's like, I want to fuck you and never see you again.
Most of the time. But I want to say, yeah, like, she has two big relationships, the Smith-Jarrett guy, the movie star, and then also this guy that's coming up, Richard Wright.
And also the lady.
Yes, and the lady.
Her lesbian relationship. Mm-hmm. That was actually, like, a shockingly big relationship.
That's, like,
relationship
multiple
for
episodes, for sure.
Which is big.
And then, like, yeah, like, Miranda basically has Steve as this on-and-off-again guy, and then Charlotte has two big relationships, and then Carrie has two big relationships too. Like,
that's true. Okay, should we get to fashion?
Yeah, fashion. Fashion, turn to left. Fashion, turn to left. Ooh, fashion, fashion. Oh my gosh, so many things that I gotta fucking talk about. Okay, first of all, the underwear. What's with the like BVDs with Carrie and like big or not big Aiden? They're like matching tidy whities.
That makes sense. My girlfriend wears my underwear all the time.
But are they tidy whities?
Well, I mean, in the late 90s, that's kind of what dudes wore.
There were no boxer briefs. That wasn't a thing back then.
Yeah, that's kind of the standard underwear back then.
Mm-hmm. I'm just disturbed by it being someone so deeply immersed in fashion and looks and all that crap, and she is just wearing the ugliest underwear available.
Yeah.
It just is the one thing where I'm like, I like it as a character thing, but also I'm like, that's not Carrie Bradshaw.
No.
Or she's doing it on purpose.
It's like his,
like,
underwear.
Ha ha ha. And
it's I like don't know Carrie Bradshaw, but it's comfortable.
I feel like she would wear underoos more than the underwear.
What's an underoo?
It's the tidy whities, but it has like Spider-Man or like X-Men on the butt. You know, it has like the
kids underwear?
Yeah, it's the kids underwear. Yeah.
Okay.
See, because and this might be a more modern sensibility, but in my mind, I'm like, Carrie Bradshaw, she's all about fashion. Thongs. Mm-hmm. All the way. Nonstop thongs until she dies.
Right. Like, she wouldn't be caught dead without a thong on.
Hanging around the house in a thong?
Yeah, because
do ladies do that?
Yes. Okay. So, do you ever get home and you're tired and maybe sweaty, and you're like, I'm taking my pants off. I just want to be in my underwear.
Right, comfy.
Yeah. Guess what? Some women's underwear is thongs.
And they're comfortable in that.
I hate underwear.
No, just you are like, well, I could continue to wear this thong, or which is normal comfort. Not uncomfortable, not comfortable, but normal amount. And or I could just, like, have my pussy out there.
Mm.
So, Yeah, I could just get some air in between the labia.
But what about some just like nice comfy shorts?
Yeah, or just like some, yeah, booty shorts.
You're not going to take off your thong and then put on shorts. You're going to have your thong and shorts, or you are never wearing a thong to begin with.
I feel like you get home, you crack a beer.
Tell me what you feel like.
You make a martini.
Yeah.
You know, you make a
cocktail. Tell me about your thong.
You throw something in the oven, the microwave, you heat it up, you go in, you take off all the uncomfortable clothes, your underwear, your pants, and you put on your comfy pants, your comfy sweats, and your comfy shirt. And that's how you get down to the house.
That's called male privilege. Okay, but
We're 20 years in the future.
Yeah.
We're on a different level.
That's also
true. We're on a different level than they were in 1997.
That's true. Like, she probably couldn't wear a thong because she just had such, like, so much hair. Like, because, like, they didn't shave.
Do you think she had hair? Did they show her pussy?
I don't think so, but I feel like she's got a full-on bush.
Just Kim Cattrall's.
Yeah.
And she has a solid merkin.
I feel like she has a landing strip.
Yeah, that sounds more like Carrie Bradshaw for sure. But also, I feel like she's not into the Brazilian just yet.
No.
This is too early for the Brazilian, and they've talked about that before, too.
In the LA
didn't come
episode.
Over from Brazil yet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We're into that. Okay, so fashion, other outfits that you liked.
Did anything stick out to anyone?
I also liked
the fashion. I loved all of Samantha's like power suits.
Yeah, like
she
those.
Had.
Yeah.
I
and
was
her earrings.
Like,
and she had a lava outfit too.
Fuck yeah! No, I felt like Samantha this episode. I believed her as a businesswoman.
Yeah,
and like I believed her as someone like selling herself, and she was still hot in all
Definitely.
Of them, but also. In a business appropriate, very powerful way, and I loved it.
The one thing I saw about Carrie that I was kind of like, what the fuck, is that outfit that she was wearing the day after Big showed up, and like she was trying to stop the fight, and she's just in this like weird, white kind of just.
Okay, can
like,
I?
Tissue paper outfit.
Can I just say that made more sense to me than the see-through white shirt
the
day before
bra.
With the black bra when Big came initially. And she was like, Aiden, don't feel threatened. I'm just going to see my ex-boyfriend I cheated on you with in my black bra and my see-through white shirt. It's fine.
We won't
leave his car.
Is that something that you're like all the like into is the... I'm going to have my bra see through my shirt.
I think it's a very 90s thing. It's a very 90s fashion thing.
For me, it was that was a big thing when I was in high school. I graduated like 2010, but that's the last time
that
I think
90s.
I was aware of that being a choice. Where people were like, I want this to look like this. And not just like, I made a terrible mistake in my shirt or bra buying.
I want to say, when I was in high school or like in my early 20s, it wasn't about that. It was about more so like, let's just hide the bra. Like, let's have the bra be the same color as the t-shirt.
Right, and also, like, we don't want to see bra straps. Like, we don't want any of that crap. That's real.
Like, and obviously, you could still see it. It's not like you couldn't see, like, a white bra underneath a sheer white t-shirt. It was just more like, yeah, it's there, but don't focus on that. Now it's like, no, focus on these underage titties.
Wow.
Yep.
You don't have to respond to that for us. Like, they're going to use that quote in court, and you don't have to be involved. That's fine.
This is
don't
so I throw the FBI off the trail, because now...
By admitting your guilt.
They're not worried about my murders. They're worried about now my pedophilia.
Don't please stop.
Yeah. Okay. So, guys, final thoughts on this episode.
I need you to pay half the rent.
I will still from in prison.
Okay. Two soups.
Yeah, two soups.
How many soups is rent?
Probably at least 500 soups, I would assume.
Several.
It's a lot of soup.
That's a lot of soup. I'm gonna bring a pallet of soups to you in the next few weeks. Don't ask how or why.
That's because he's going away. I am. Know that.
Guys,
that's fine.
But
okay.
Don't worry.
I'll PayPal you money.
Before I go away to jail, let's talk about the final thoughts. What did you take away from this episode? What are you going to like tell your girlfriend?
Solid show. Really liked it. I'm excited to start from the beginning. I could see it getting really hokey and kind of being like, oh, this shit's like retarded. But that seemed like a good episode.
The first episode is a lot different than this one. They go on a huge progression from the first to this one.
Yeah. But I will point out that we both were separate Sex and the City converts, and that's how we started hanging out, and that's how this podcast started, was that it can be hokey, but I think in a way it's inherently comforting.
Yeah.
And in a way it sort of, because they have the four girls, you always have someone to relate to.
Who do you relate to most?
I think I said that at the beginning, but Aiden. I feel like
it has to be the four ladies.
Oh, of the four ladies.
Yeah, if you had to choose.
The power bitch.
Samantha.
I was going to say, I feel like you would fuck your ex for having one ball because you felt bad.
Mm. Miranda.
I like Miranda. She's nice. But I felt she was kind of plain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There you go. Fair. Okay. Final thoughts. So we got to wrap this shit up.
What are your final thoughts, April?
I really enjoyed this episode. It felt like Sex and the City, like at its heart, and not, it wasn't reaching towards anything big. It wasn't the best episode, but everyone got a very like fun little arc for themselves, and it was true to character, and I just really enjoyed it. So I will give it the full like two thumbs up, because it was fantastic. It was everyone just doing them, you know?
Yeah, all four characters were hitting their stride. This is the clearly the season where I feel like all of them are the most them. You know, they don't kind of stray out of like their weird like characters where you're like, what? That would Charlotte would never do that, or Carrie would never do that. Well, sometimes Carrie she's a wild card. But sometimes, like, characters stray from being them, but I feel like this is the season where they don't stray a lot. They're always like, nope, that's exactly what Miranda would do, and that's exactly what Samantha would do.
Exactly. Okay.
So, what are you going to do when you get home? You're going to just binge watch Sex and the City?
I might watch a show. I'm actually watching Game of Thrones right now. So
screw that. That can wait. Winter can still come later.
T-Dog for life. But I don't know. I'm definitely going to start watching it.
What are you going to do when your girlfriend does not like this show at all, and you're going to have to convince her still to watch it regardless, because you can't watch it by yourself, obviously. You have to have a female with you.
You're a heterosexual male. Yeah. You have something to prove.
Right. But what are you going to do when she hates this show?
Well, I don't think she will, but if she does,
mm-hmm.
I think the logical thing to do would be to kill her.
Well, clearly, obviously.
Correct answer. You just won $1,000.
Yeah. Or you set her up in a like some sort of Clockwork Orange scenario where she gets forced to watch it with toothpicks in her eyes.
Yeah, yeah. Eyeballs peeled open. Mm-hmm. There's Beethoven played over all the sex scenes.
Yes.
And if she ever talks smack about Sex in the City, she just starts to be like, and she can't.
Nope. This is going to be a great physical and mental experiment that you're going to play on her. And I like to see, I'm hopeful for the results.
Yeah.
I'm ready for science to get there.
Yeah. Okay. So, guys, this was another great episode of Sex in the City. Don't forget, there's so much more left to come. And we're so close to 9/11.
We're working our way up. Guys, if you're counting down,
I want to say we're less than three episodes away.
Noah's coming up. Forrest, do you have any plugs, anything that you want to pimp out in your own career?
Social media, maybe.
First off, thank you guys for having me on Sex in the City podcast. I am a legit convert.
Hell yeah.
That's all we ask.
You know what? You can catch me around the open mic scene in Orange County. I perform occasionally at the Rec Room and basically just support comedy, and I'll be happy with that.
Yeah.
Live comedy is good wherever you see it.
And then obviously check us out on the liner notes. And don't forget, another great episode is going to be in your ear holes next week.
Peace out.
Later.